Welcome back, ladies, to day 4 of the Her Terms Telesummit by Waking Beauty, taking back wealth, wisdom, and the way of the goddess in life and business. Today's theme is art, beauty, and creativity, and you heard from some fantastic speakers this morning, Mara Bloom, the creator of a successful celebrity fashion line, and awesome spiritual seeker, talked about the creative process and how to follow the voice of your intuition to manifest who you are. Then we had Chloe Rain speaking about the artistic path as your life experience and how to overcome those hidden myths that are really blocking you from consciously creating your life the way your heart really wants it to be. And, you know, if you weren't able to make those recordings live, I just want to remind everybody that all of our recordings are available for 24 hours after the time of interview. You just go to hertermstelesummit.com/welcome, and you can get the link there. And so moving into our final speaker for the day, I am really, really looking forward to interviewing this woman, because from honestly the first second that I think I ever saw her website, not the one that I helped build, but the one before, I said, she has something really, really, really special. And I watched her take that special something and create a multiple six-figure business that is changing the lives of women around the world, connecting them to beauty in a way I've just not seen anybody doing. So let me just give you the lowdown on our next speaker. Her name is Paula Lacobara, and she is a women's empowerment coach who specializes in assisting women to reconnect with their feminine essence and beauty so they can live an authentic life as integrated women in the world. Paula is mostly known for helping women feel confident and in harmony with their feminine and masculine aspects of themselves, and how by infusing beauty in every area of their lives, they become unstoppable to achieve all of their heart's desires. I just love that. Originally from Buenos Aires, Argentina, Paula moved to America 12 years ago to follow her desire to live on purpose and created a multiple six-figure coaching business. Today, she travels around the world working with clients and sharing her message and her Latino flair on women owning their beauty and femininity unapologetically to create a life they absolutely love. And today, Paula is going to speak to us on unapologetic beauty, how to reclaim the power of beauty as an empowering force in your life and business. It gives me great pleasure to welcome Paula to the Her Terms Telesummit. Welcome, Paula.
Thank you, Kara. Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I know. And you're tuning in to us today from Argentina.
Buenos Aires.
Here. Yeah. How is that going?
You caught me right in the middle. So now I'm speaking with this, with embodying this energy of where I actually learned everything I know about beauty. So perfect timing.
Well, that's I can imagine coming from a culture like that, that you get a different perspective than what we might get here in North America. And as beauty is such a huge topic for women and can at times be controversial, and sometimes, are we talking about physical beauty? Are we talking about inner beauty, outer beauty? I just wanted to start the conversation by asking you, Paula, what does beauty mean to you?
Well, to me, it took me a long way to really be able to actually answer this question. Beauty is, for me, is a higher power. I mean, beauty, when I'm connected with beauty, I feel I'm connected to the truest part of myself, to my soul. And, when I am connected with my beauty, it's a way of being in full, in the fullness of my truth, in the fullness of who I am as a woman, as a being in this world. So beauty really holds to me a high vibration, and one of the highest vibrations I know. I know love also, and to me, you know, beauty is essential to my being. When I am not surrounded by beauty, I feel it in the deepest fiber of my being. So I didn't know this before, and I started with the outer beauty. And I usually had a lot of conflict because it was not in alignment with my inner beauty. So as I did, as I went through my whole journey of this inner and outer beauty, and that came into alignment in both of them, now I can see how crucial and like the core of it, how the impact that it had within me. And once I came into terms and into alignment with it, everything started sprouting from it because I was fully in my truth.
Yes. So at one point in your life, there was a misalignment between inner beauty and outer beauty. I'm wondering, can you tell us a little bit about your story? I know you grew up in Argentina, and you've mentioned your cultural background influenced this relationship to beauty. I'm just wondering if you could contextualize that shift in consciousness you went from and how your early experiences growing up with beauty, you know, how did this change and this realignment take place?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, everyone in my country strives for beauty. Beauty has a really high, people really strive for beauty. Let's just put it that way. It's beauty is a priority in my country. And, you know, I remember watching even, you know, not just women, but men really taking care of themselves. My dad, you know, he is, even to this day, I was, you know, before coming here, I was, you know, he loves to get dressed and perfumes and stuff like that. He's, you know, they're what they call it, metrosexual, I guess. But there, actually, it's very common. It's very common in Argentina.
I wish more American men were like that.
Yeah, me too. Me too, to be honest with you. But anyway, and it took a while to train my husband, gorgeous husband, American. But yeah, it's just funny because I could see how cultural it really is. And I was, you know, I was at this store, and I know he loves that store, and I'm like, okay, Dad, and I'm FaceTiming with him, and I'm like, okay, do you like this? Do you like that? He's like, no, that doesn't look good. You know how that doesn't look good with this color and that. Like, he totally knew, you know, they're totally aware of that. And I'm like, okay, Dad, all right, got it. I give you the other one, you know? But anyway, mm-hmm. And I remember even being a little girl, you know, almost like reaching at the sink and watching my mom putting makeup on every morning. Even if she had to go to the grocery store, she would even put lipstick on. And it was just it's a sign of honoring yourself, and that's what we do. Every Saturday morning, my mom and I would go to the hair salon, and it was our thing. It was the thing to do. Every woman, every Saturday morning, you know, after a long week work, they would go, and till this day, like, it's the beauty day. And we go, and we get our hair done, our nails done. We had, you know, a woman come into the house to do our nails, but we would go to the hair salon, and then we would go clothing, you know, shopping. Like, we would go to see clothes with my mom, like, It was a given. It wasn't even a discussion or an argument about it. It was what is. That's what it is. And so I definitely, you know, growing up in that culture, of course, there's two sides of the same coin on this, right, as we already know. But it was passed from generations, really, like, observing, and on top of that, my godmother was, you know, she was Miss Argentina at some point. So I was really connected with it. My uncles, they had the clothing factory. Like, do you see? So I've definitely been very exposed myself in that. But it wasn't just me; it was everyone. Now, The other side of the coin on that is that it was like you could turn very easily into being very superficial, and now you're doing it to be liked. You know, you're doing it to for others to appreciate you. And there was also a big piece of being very critical about that you had to look a certain way, if not, you wouldn't be accepted, right? And I think that it's not just in my culture, but the pressure, because beauty was such a high, such a high standard in my country, it really held a lot of also the same part of, like, you have to be skinny, you have to, but at, even at a higher level than I see it here in America. And that's just my perception, because maybe I really experienced the other side of it. But it was, really about, I mean, if I tell you all the things that I did to, like, not have cellulite or kill myself in the gym because I had to look a certain size, or, like, it was really interesting. It was really insane at that moment, you know, in my teens. And I would say for myself and for many women that I know who went through it, definitely took me into eating disorders and, you know, just really not appreciating the inner beauty, which is the journey of the soul, right, to really get to know yourself at a deep level. But, of course, in those early years, I wasn't guided to do that. I was guided more to watch my outer beauty, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is an experience that a lot of women have, even in our culture.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's a big pain point for a lot of women.
On top of that, absolutely, and this is why I do what I do, right? And mm-hmm. On top of that, I grew up with a brother who was special needs, and it was really tough because when, you know, for starters, we had someone in the house who would, you know, help with my brother, and that's just very common in Argentina to have people in the house helping. And my mom would work and my dad would work, and so she would stay in the home. But I remember I had, you know, not too long ago, actually, I think about 3 years ago, I woke up to this. I was doing some inner work, and I woke up to this memory of this woman. I was like being so bubbly and so beautiful and so cute. You know, I think I was like about 2 years old or something like that. And my brother is a little older. He's like about 3 years older than me. And, you know, my brother was complaining, and he doesn't speak. So he's like moaning kind of thing, you know, in the kitchen. And my parents were so hypnotized by me being like all cute. You know, I was starting to talk and all that good stuff. And I remember at some point, I think I went into the kitchen, and this woman told me that because of me, my parents weren't paying attention to my brother. And it's sort of like, you know, it's crazy to think about it, but I remember right after that, I shrunk. Because, of course, you know, as a little girl, I never wanted to hurt my brother or take attention from him. But because I was being so bubbly and so beautiful, and so I shrunk, and I kind of like disappear. And all of this piece of me finding my beauty was a whole journey for me, especially with this, you know, with this episode. And then on top of that, you know, I had a different standard of what beauty was, you know, due to my brother as well. So I had those two realities within my own home, and then what was outside and what was determined for the outside world would tell us what beauty was, and then really connecting with what really beauty was through my brother and my family.
Wow. You know, I think that's so significant, because we do that, and I think women do it more so too, because we're so empathetic and we're so naturally compassionate. And, you know, when we're raised in a culture that believes that for one to have, another one doesn't, it makes us, you know, cover our light or cover our beauty. So I'm fascinated by it, because I think then later on, when we're more focused on the outside, then there's this like sort of some of the desire to kind of make yourself look a certain way in the beauty industry, is because we're then trying to like look like what we look like to other people. We're trying to look good. So it's really interesting how that correlation between shutting down your inner light, your inner beauty, led might even have spiritually led into that restriction in being sort of imprisoned by the outer beauty standards.
Absolutely. It's fascinating to me when I look back, because I knew that what I was really searching for is to reclaim that shine, you know, that inner light that I shut down. But I didn't know how to access that because no one told me. And I, of course, now it makes sense until, like, this memory came to me. I'm like, it's almost like all the dominoes, you know, the chips were like, oh, my God, of course. And and yes, it was that journey of really, oh, my God, what I was always really looking for was that within me that shrunk when I was two. And because I didn't know better, I didn't know at that time, I thought that what I was missing was the outer perception and, that, you know, for people to like me and to see me, I needed to fit in. I needed to be like what others expected of me. I needed to look a certain size. I needed to have my hair in a certain way. And the funny thing, I mean, it's actually not funny at all, but it's the interesting piece is that, you know, when you're trapped in that, you don't realize that it's actually someone determining what trend is going to be next year and then what's going to happen. And it changes 4 times a year. It's impossible to follow, you know, because like, how do you keep up? Right?
Yeah.
It's crazy when you think about it. But all really what I was yearning for within me was that light within myself that shrunk. That's what I was looking for. And I think if you don't have a special needs, you know, a brother, you can identify at some point, maybe someone told you something, maybe something happened to you, maybe you experienced abuse, like something happened in your life that you shrunk, that you shut down. And I think that's what we are yearning for. That's what we're looking for. It's not the outside beauty. It's the inner beauty that then will be reflected. And I'll share more about that in a minute.
Yeah, I'd love to know what was your process of reclaiming that, because you obviously have done, and I know you've shared about the dream work and going through, but can you tell us a little bit more about what happened in your life? That led you to reclaim your beauty?
Yes. At some point, you know, it's interesting because I definitely, you know, got in a lot of different relationships and, you know, through my 20s, I've experienced so much, you know, like I got married, then my husband left, and then we got divorced, and then I moved to America, and then, like, I went to India, like, I did, read 3,000 books, you know, hire so many teachers, you know, like, the soul searching part of it. Because I kept, like, it was, I was feeling empty, like nothing, like no, you know, when you look, any woman can identify with this, when you look back at your photos and you're like, oh my God, I wasn't that, I wasn't fat, or I wasn't this, or I wasn't, what was I thinking then? You know, like, we were so obsessed into being something, again, because what we're really yearning is the inside, you know, that connection with your truth. And so, you know, for me, you know, one of the tipping points for really claiming is that I got into this really abusive relationship with a man who was, you know, it was the perfect mirror and the perfect soul to help me really reclaim that, because I really touched bottom in this relationship. And I was, like, completely, everything about me was being put to the ground and stepped over. And so, and I was allowing it, of course, right? And so at some point, I just got tired. I got tired of nagging. I got tired of asking to be liked and loved. I was, you know, like, you see yourself like in, I was almost like a beggar, you know, on the streets within my own self. And I had enough. I was like, this is ridiculous. This is insane. I can't live like this anymore. I mean, crying every night. you know, like, it was really an eye-opener. And also, what the truth is that this beautiful man actually, in a weird way, totally helped me really stand up for myself and for my power. And that's when I made the decision. That's when, and you know, it requires a lot of self-love. It really does. You know, when I started, you know, after getting tired of playing small and feeling like I was repeating the same stories over and over, you know, at some point it's like I need to, like, but on the other hand though, so that's one on one hand. And then on the other hand, I was having so much success. I was in New York City and I was like loving my work. I was an esthetician at that point, and everyone would pay me compliments and tell me how, you know, how much their lives were changing and how much they felt so good, and they were rebooking right after their appointments. So I was getting these two sides of the story, and it was what I realized for myself was about receiving. Like, I was so disconnected with my feminine power that I was not able to receive the goodness of who I was and see it for myself, instead of like seeing what was not and being in a relationship that, again, that relationship just served the purpose of what was going on inside with all my beliefs of not being worthy, of not shining my light. And so at some point I really, you know, decided to look the other way and look at the things that were actually working in my life and all of the beauty that was being created through my work and through who I was. And that, as I started even focusing more on helping other women to feel more beautiful, and even men actually, which is just glorious, I started to shift within myself. And I experienced this, you know, I started to receive myself in a new way, connecting more with my feminine energy, more my empowered feminine energy. And also, and this is when the most fascinating thing happened, my body started to completely shift fully.
Tell us about that, because like every woman's like, yes.
Yes, so happened? All of this... Yeah, so all of the things that I've been complaining about forever and looking in the mirror, look at this, look at that, they started shifting. And now I had a new way. I almost cannot explain it. Like, I can explain what I felt. And the process was, if I have to kind of rationally put it together, I would say that it was really about looking at the goodness of who I was, which got me more in touch of who I really was in my soul, and connecting with a lot of self-love and a lot of like reclaiming my power, you know, mm-hmm. and never ever promising to myself, never ever make myself wrong for nothing anymore, because that relationship that I was doing everything wrong. You know, like I was being put down all the time. You're this, you're that, why are you doing this, you're doing this wrong. Like, it was always about being wrong, and I promised to myself that I would never, ever, ever again make myself wrong.
That is exquisite. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that is just exquisite.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because what is our biggest enemy is our own mind. And what we're telling ourselves all the time.
Yeah.
So this is huge.
It's huge. But and I'm going to say that I didn't do it alone, okay? I definitely require support around this, because I was pretty beat up myself. I mean, it was intense where I was. And so I needed support to really bring me back to me and show me that goodness. You know, when you hire someone to support you, and this is what, you know, I do, because this is what I received, right? So this is what I do. It's being like, I needed someone to show me the good mirror for myself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the work that I do with my clients today, it's really putting that beautiful mirror in front of them for them to see it, because it's there. We're not trained to see it. We don't know how to access it. And I needed people to, you know, teachers in my life who would reflect that to me. show me that. So I could start seeing it.
You mentioned something that I think is really important, something that women struggle with, which is receiving. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, through your own process and through your work with clients, do you have any tips you could give the women that are here for this call today on how to receive more beauty into their lives?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's so interesting that you picked up on that, because I actually, towards the end of last year and the beginning of this year, I launched a receiving course, because I realized, Kara, through my own journey, how much this receiving piece, without this receiving piece, there's nothing, like, we don't let things come into our lives, you know, whether it's our beauty, our money, like, anything. And this piece of receiving for a woman, it's really about connecting with your femininity. It's really being, you know, women nowadays are so used to being outward, doing, and of course, because it's required, you know, we're really rising into our power and to making a difference in the world, living on purpose, and for once, really claiming our desires. But you can't really do it if you're not in receiving mode, if you're not in that dance, what I call it, the tango, of course, because it's, you know, it's my country, but it's like, and if you see it in tango, it's the perfect balance between the feminine and masculine. You know, when the man initiates a step, the woman in tango requires to receive it. And if she doesn't receive it, then there's no dance. So both feminine and masculine play a very active role in the dance. And that's what happens in life. It's a very beautiful metaphor of life itself, and each individually, men and women, being connected with our feminine and power and feminine and masculine energies within ourselves. And this is why, you know, I teach what I teach. But mostly is allowing for a woman to allowing herself to connect more with the feminine.
So does that mean, you know, getting out of the doing mode and into more of the smelling the roses mode?
So to speak.
Because I think sometimes we have trouble contextualizing that.
Yes, I understand. And, yes, it is doing the dance. I'm not saying stop doing and just focus on smelling the roses. I'm saying do, right? Because, I mean, then you go back into la-la land, and that's no power for anyone. You know, you can't live a purpose or make money or create a beautiful business based on that, right? But it's mostly about, you know, there's a time to smell the roses, and there's a time to really get on it and do your work in the world. And also connecting with your feminine actually enhances anything that you do in your life. First of all, because you will be more connected with your intuition, as you are able to then feel and receive, for example, me and my coaching, which is what I do, I receive my clients where they are. I can sense, I can feel, the more connected I'm with my feminine, I can sense and I can perceive and I can help them better, right?
Totally.
And then also what you can do is you're more creative. You know, you find, like, I feel women being, you know, I hear them all the time being so stuck in their, I don't know what to do. And I was that myself too. And I realized that until I really allow myself to receive fully, to receive myself fully, I wasn't really connected with this piece of creativity. And today, as I am doing my own tango within myself and my life, you know, I can feel that there is a time where I am super inspired, and then there's a time to go and take it into action.
Right.
Before it was either or.
I love that metaphor.
I know. Isn't it so fun? I mean, so.
Oh, it's so you. It's so perfect.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. I mean, my logical part is super happy about it, my masculine.
All right, so this is something I think is really important, because obviously this is more of a goddess-oriented divine feminine summit. you can tend to go more into la-la if you're more focused on the feminine. And a big message of what I'm trying to bring through is that we've got to bring them together. It's not just about feminine. It's about feminine with the masculine. And
sure.
So you've mentioned your business. One of the reasons I wanted you to speak is because you are extremely successful. You've got a multi-six-figure coaching business teaching women how to own their beauty and connect to their femininity. And as somebody who has worked in branding, I know how difficult it is for so many women when they want to make that transition from being in receiving mode in their healing and empowerment journeys to going out and offering their gifts to others, and they want to start a business. It can be really daunting to own a very feminine brand message, because to us, you know, or to a lot of people, that's like a soft sell, and it's not a bottom line, and where's the hard money and the deliverable that they're going to get from it. So it's fascinating that you've been able to be so incredibly successful with a very feminine brand. And I'm wondering if you could share with us how you found the courage to own your beauty as your business. Let's just go there. How did you find that courage? Or was that even ever a problem for you, or was it not even a question?
Well, no, I, you know, for me, it was definitely like, it was more about like, oh my God, like, how can I present this? Like, people are going to laugh at me. What am I teaching? What's going on? You know, like, it's just one of those things, Kara, that you really are like, how do I do this? So for me, the no-brainer was, you know, if I want to play big and be at a high level and attract clients who are at a high level, I need to, I require the assistance and support as the, you know, from the people that are at those higher levels. So not only I can, because I learn by experience. I don't learn just by being told. I learn by experiencing something. So I needed to see how it was done. And also, I needed to experience what it felt like to be given to at that level.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what I see a lot of women who are in this, you know, more feminine messages, if you will, is that they're like, no, you know, like, no, I'm going to start small. Like, I went there and I played big because I knew that for me it required a real sense of taking responsibility and commitment. So I did, and I went play big. And I hired these high-level coaches. I remember the first year, you know, that I hired a coaching program for $25,000, and then the next one was $20,000, all in 1 year. So that was like $45,000 in 1 year, my first year of coaching, right off the bat, and that it kept growing. So it took a lot of courage for sure, but I also knew, like, you can feel it in my energy, like, I have a very strong masculine as well. And I knew that if I wanted to have big results, I needed to play big. And I needed to experience what it felt like.
Yeah, and I think that's something that, like, women don't realize is that money is so much a frequency. And, you know, the level of your business really depends on how much are you putting into it as far as your energy. And when you're investing at those higher levels, you're putting, like, all of your energy into it. And then you're receiving, you know, a much, much higher frequency of support, and it just, you know, it pops you out. And it goes back to your message of receiving. It's like allowing yourself to receive that kind of support.
Mm-hmm. And I was so committed, you know, to be and operate from this high level of beauty and this high level vibration, that, you know, what happens when you are committed to such level, you become that magnet. You know, I allow myself to be that woman who played at that level, and I became a magnet, and I started attracting all of that into my life. Now, you know, everything that is authentic to me and truthful to me, because now I am connected with the higher level of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being held. Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
I'm being held at that standard. I'm holding myself, and I'm being held by somebody else at that standard. So you become
right.
that magnet of that of what you are.
Right. That's
so first of all, I needed clarity. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I require clarity.
Yeah, I require clarity. I knew I had the clarity that I knew what I desire. I followed that desire. I knew, and it wasn't, again, it's not even about the money itself, because at any level, money is the same. You know, like you earn at a high level, you spend at a high level, right? Like when you think about it, but it's not about the money itself. It's about the frequency, the vibration, which is what you were talking about.
Right. Okay,
and
so
mm-hmm.
What about, I don't want to, I love this track you're on. So if you have more to add, please feel free.
Go ahead. Let's see. I can talk.
Okay, because we're talking about money being a frequency and the importance of making a decision, the importance of really tapping in to your desires and really taking a stand for who you are and what you want. And this really is the secret to success and doing it in this level of authenticity, which for you was around beauty and as
right.
that being your spiritual guide. And I just wish more women would really hear this. You know, that it's not about, you know, getting the right website and marketing. I mean, that can come in when that needs to come in, and it's not about, you know, are other people going to want this. It's about how are you choosing, who are you choosing to be in the world, and how are you choosing to commit to who
yeah.
you are.
So for me, I did it through beauty because as I shared before, beauty was a deep core, like I forgot how you say that, but anyway, like it's such a core value for me. That's what it is, mm-hmm. a value. So for me, this whole thing about money and beauty and vibration and love, like that to me it's in the same line. So by me connecting with my beauty was me connecting with high level of money and high level of success. And do you see what I mean? Like it was in my truth, and everything I did, beauty was infused to it. Everything I said, every word I spoke was about it came from beauty. Like it was beautiful. Every you know, my office was beautiful. My home, like everything started changing, because when you are connected with your truth inside, everything outside starts reflecting, because we know at this point that everything outside is a reflection of how we are inside. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So as I started owning myself and my beauty, everything started elevating. When you know, for me, beauty, like if you have a room that it doesn't look beautiful and then you do like a makeover, how amazing do you feel? Like when you do a spring cleaning, even if you don't buy new furniture, like how amazing does that feel? Because beauty is in it.
I love that.
And so, yeah, and so for me, as I started infusing beauty within myself and then transferred it to my business, that's when everything, the vibration started rising. And if you see, as you already know, because you created my gorgeous website, you see how, like we talked about this, creating the website, remember? Like everything needed to have beauty in it.
Mm-hmm. And, well, beauty is a huge, it's probably my spiritual guide, too. I mean, it's a core part of my brand essence. And especially as an artist and as a designer, I love bringing beauty out, which, you know, to me, I have my,
unique expression of that. And I'm just, you know, one of the things that I'm asking a lot of the women who are coming into this summit is, you know, there's this theme of taking back. And you mentioned having to make this big decision to, you know, I'm going to live at this level of my life and this is my truth. In the context of this journey, growing your business specifically, did you ever reach a point where that decision was challenged, or where you had to, it was like a pivotal moment where you were maybe going in one direction, you had to reaffirm and make a decision to do things differently or to do things in a more authentic way to who you are?
Well, I have to say that, of course, at any moment you're faced with those times. You know, it's part of the growth, it's part of the journey, basically. And you will be, through your journey, be tested in your power, and almost like be tested in how truthful you're being. Because, you know, in this way, for example, for me, is like, my business is my purpose, right? It's just the way, my business is the way of me living my purpose on this earth. And it requires a commitment and a level of authenticity. So the more I am connected with that, the more successful, the more beautiful my business is. And what I did find is, in many ways, I remember as I started the journey too, is like how I knew that at a soul level, I knew that this purpose needed to be in full authenticity. And sometimes it's not that easy to be fully authentic, you know, or being truthful, because it requires for you to work your stuff, you know, and do
right.
your inner journey as well. And sometimes it's easier to see it in others than in seeing it in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. And so, and again, right, like a lot of our, you know, clients could be your teachers, coaches can be your teachers, you know, friends can be your teachers, like family, et cetera, environment. They're all teachers of you coming and doing your personal growth and your work. That's why I say a lot of what I share with women, clients or no clients, whenever I talk to them, you know, if you are looking to build a business, if you are in this entrepreneurial world, you require, absolutely require to focus on the feminine. And what I mean by that is not only on the structural pieces of your business, which is, you know, the masculine, you know, how to build your list. And of course, that's essential. And also really looking inward, really doing the inner work. Focusing on the feminine pieces of your business, doing the personal work, looking at the areas that are not so pretty that we don't want to look, because they're all, like, in this business is almost, I would say, the women who succeed, and this is my perception, you know, you might have a different one, but the women who truly succeed are the ones who are in full alignment with who they are, and they remove those pieces of themselves that are programmed or that have been imposed to them that are not truthful. So the more mm-hmm. truthful you become and authentic, the more success you have, because you are cleaner in your energy and you become more of that mirror for others.
Oh, I love that. I love that, Paula. So wrapping up, what would you leave women with who want to own their beauty unapologetically in their business and their life?
Well, I love the term unapologetic. I feel it's pretty Latin, sassy, and like, who cares, you know, that kind of thing. You know, when I came up in one of our sessions with one of my masterminds, you know, it was like, yeah, you know, of course, being unapologetic. And because, you know, my whole life I've been asking for permission. And mm-hmm. so, you know, one of the things in owning who you are, it's really like people are going to think whatever they think, whether you try or not. So it really is connecting with who you are and really seeing what are your values or what is it that you require. And for once, as a woman, to look at yourself first, you know, to look to take care of yourself first instead of taking care of others first, and then you, whenever you have time. You know, this is especially women who are mothers, you know, they experience this firsthand. But even those who are not mothers, you know, I include myself here, you know, we're still trained to think of others first. If it's not your spouse, it's your friend, it's your whatever. So my message here is for you to really claim yourself and really allow yourself to put yourself as a number one priority, to really fully connect with the permission piece needs to come from you and no one outside of yourself, because no one would really ever know. And the more you connect with who you are, the more you would know what's best or not for you. So, and it's a very personal experience.
I love that. So you hear that, lady. You've got to put yourself first. You've got to start taking care of you and really listening to you and allowing yourself to experience that beauty that you really desire, which is really your own inner light, your own inner experience, but it's also, you know, reflected through that outer level too, business, body, relationships.
Yeah, I feel that the level of beauty that we're talking about here is not what most people talk about. You know, so
no.
But okay, another way to start is to really, you know, make this little movement towards beauty. And I recently did a challenge, you know, Beauty for Busy Women. And so, you know, it's really about connecting with even, you know, adding a beautiful regimen for your skin, or wearing red lipstick, or, you know, adding a new accessory and really calling that beauty piece in. That way you will start reconnecting from the outside to the inside, and the inside will ignite, and then moving it outward again. Do you see? It's like, you know, like the receiving symbol, what I do in my program is it's like the infinite symbol, infinity symbol. You know, it's just, it's the one feeds the other and it never stops.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
So, Paula, thank you so much. I feel like you have elevated the frequency of this conversation to a truly spectacular level. And I know there are going to be women that want to find out more and they want to connect with you after the telesummit. Can you let them know how they can do that? And also, I know you've got a special gift prepared. So what is that?
So they can find me at paulalacobara.com. I'm sure we can send those links. And that's my website. You can sign up for my mailing list, and I have a blog, and I share some gorgeous tips, you know, different things about, you know, women being a woman in the world, owning your beauty, your feminine power, and all that good stuff. And then you'll see a beautiful co-creation that Kara and I did on our website. And then I also have a webinar coming up that you can sign up for, and it's free. It's paulalacobara.com/empowered/women/webinar. I'm sure we can do that, right? paulalacobara.com, /empowered/women/webinar. And, yeah, you can sign up for it, and you'll get all the details. It's going to be awesome, and I have some little gifts in between in preparation for the webinar. So it's going to be fun and interactive, and you get a workbook. Excuse me. So all the good stuff. But I'm sure, Kara, we can share the link somewhere.
I can't wait. Yes, the links, everybody, they are located on the homepage for the telesummit, which is hertermsummit.com/welcome. If you go to the place where Paula's picture is and about her interview below it, you'll see the link to her website as well as the link to her free gift. Paula, thank you so much for being here. It was truly an honor. You are such an authentically empowered woman, and it really radiates through your voice and through your presence. And I am so happy that you decided to share your message here on the summit today. Thank you so much.
It's been It's such an honor. I mean, Kara, you know how I adore you, and you know you've been such a part of also my discovery. I mean, remember, like even a year and a half ago, I was like, oh, I don't know what to put. You know, like it's just you really, truly also supported me to claim this piece for myself. And you know, once we put it into a reality and a gorgeous website, you know, everything started taking shape. So I am really grateful to you as a, as an expert in your field, and also as you know, for having me here and being able to connect with amazing women from around the world and share my gift and ignite in themselves their own beauty, so they can also own and share their gift with the world.
Oh, thank you. Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. All right.
Awesome.
So, everybody, thank you for being here. A reminder, tomorrow we kick off the Intuitive Business Day of our summit. We've got some amazing speakers. Once again, go to the homepage, tune in, find out who they are. Be sure to show up. And if for whatever reason you're not able to catch these interviews in the 24-hour time frame that they're airing, the recording set is available for sale from $97. You can also get that on the Summit homepage. You can have all of these recordings to listen to at your leisure, to keep in your home collection, to inspire, awaken, and empower you whenever you need it most. I want to thank you all so much for being here and wish you many blessings on your path to reclaiming the wealth, wisdom, and the way of the goddess in your life and business. I will be checking back in with you tomorrow. Till then, ciao.